I said at Wednesday night Bible study.
Amen.
Just in the dark Bible study.
Yeah.
Amen. I believe I said Wednesday night. Because you know how people go there when they got sick. Make a revolution, do that. Y'all ask yourself, this is going to make me more about Jesus. So, if I'm going somewhere, am I getting ready to do something? Is this going to please Jesus?
Good, Pastor. All right, y'all. Yes, sir.
Is what I'm getting ready to do.
Hello.
Is it going to please Jesus? It's going to. Yeah. Is it going to please him? The place that I'm getting ready to go, is it going to please him?
Yeah.
Praise God, I don't have to go nowhere. I got to put a pair of big old dark sheds on like this so that I have on my head.
Yeah, Pastor.
Looking around. Hear it?
Yeah.
Going to, will it please him? Will it make me more like Jesus? Because that.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
KAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power, beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
You're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
Thank God for all of you this morning, for the Lord is good.
Yes, it is.
And his mercy endures forever.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Yeah, I almost forgot the sister Stead had death in her family. Her first cousin's mother passed. They funeralized her this week, Friday. Amen. A lot of death. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on around us. Earthquakes and floods and all kinds of things going on, and we need to make sure that we remain prayerful.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
There's a whole lot going on, and that's why each of us have something to thank God for every time we can wake up and face another morning.
Yeah.
We ought to say thank you.
Yeah.
I want to call our attention this morning to Philippians chapter number 3. This message has been working on me all week. I worked on it all day yesterday from about 7 this yesterday to about last night, about 7. Still wasn't through. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but the Lord must want to talk to somebody.
Amen.
Encourage somebody here today.
Yes, sir.
And I'm on the Bethel. And I don't have no choice. I just do what he tells me to do. I'm an ambassador.
Amen.
For the king.
Yes,
I can't tell you nothing but what does say the king.
Right.
I'm not a diplomat though, because I don't compromise. I tell you what does say the Lord. In the third chapter of Ephesians. I'm Philippians. Thank you. Y'all work with me a little while. I'm tired. All right. It's one of them all. But it's going to be all good. Philippians chapter number 3. Beginning at verse number 12 with our emphasis where we draw our subject on verse 13, but we'll read verse 12 through 16. Everybody got it? Say amen.
Amen.
Anybody need a little more time? Say hold on.
Hold on.
All right, that's okay. Well, hold on. Yeah, all right, we're ready. And it reads, not that I have already attained, I am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. At the first part of verse 15 say, therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, or have this attitude. The grass withers and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. God our Father, we thank you now for another preaching privilege. We ask now that you allow your Holy Spirit to move freely in our midst, and then grant us a fresh anointing of your Spirit. And in that anointing, grant us preaching power. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all this praise. It is in the strong and mighty name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord, we pray and thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Paul admonishes us to forget those things which are behind. In other words, he admonishes us to forget the past. And my brothers and sisters, especially for those of us who are saved and even those who want to be saved, it's time to get over the past and realize that stuff happens.
Yes.
And so my subject this morning is going to be get over it, stuff happens. Get over it, stuff happens. Let me begin by saying that if you are saved this morning, that there is, if you're not saved this morning, that there's nothing in your past that can keep you from being saved right now by God's grace through faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross, no matter what you've done in your past. For the Bible says, according to John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him shouldn't perish, but shall have everlasting life. And so all you got to do is step out on faith by confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believing in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. If perhaps you are a backslider this morning, meaning you've been out of the church for some time for whatever reason, you don't have to allow your past to hold you hostage by keeping you from being restored to the fellowship of the church as well as to the fellowship of Christ. Like the prodigal son of the Bible, no matter how filthy you've become in the pig pen of life, the Lord is waiting with open arms to receive you back into the fellowship. And the Bible says all you got to do is step out on faith and repent of your sin by confessing your sin, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But even more, if you're saved this morning and you are allowing the things in your past to keep you from moving forward and maturing in the Lord, perhaps you thought that you were going to be tied to all of that stuff in your past. You thought you would never escape your past. You thought that your past would define, yes, Lord, who you were going to be. But my brothers and sisters, you need to understand that if you're saved, your past is no longer your presence. Because Jesus said in his word, I have a new identity for you. And that's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone be in Christ, they are new creatures, or new creations. Why is this? Because the old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. But you know, still there are some who are saved this morning who are still trying to hold on to the past. But the Bible says we are to forget everything that's behind, that you should be reaching forward. But instead, many folk are listening to the Bible, a whole lot of folk are listening to the lies of the devil. But I need to tell you that the devil doesn't want anyone to forget the past, because that's one of the main weapons that he uses to keep lost folk lost and torment Christians and stall their forward progress and spiritual growth. Because the devil knows that the moment you forget the past and begin using it as a stepping stone to your future and not as a hitching post that keeps you tied to the past, you will experience the peace of God. In the text, Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. But now, what does Paul mean here when he says forgetting the past? Is he saying that we have to erase the past from our mind? No. But to forget the past means that you are no longer influenced or affected by it. Yet perhaps there are some here this morning, perhaps some who may be listening by radio, that will say that they've forgotten some incident that happened to them long ago. But in reality, they haven't really forgotten, because every time you see that persons or persons who did you wrong or hurt you in the past, you're still affected and influenced by it, because meaning you haven't really let it go. And so if you don't want to be affected or influenced by the negative things of the past, you got to learn to get over it and by realizing that stuff happens in life. And that's why the text says that we ought to forget things in the past, especially the negative things of the past that's impeding our forward progress, by reaching forth unto those things which are ahead. But now, in reaching forward toward those things that are ahead, Paul says in our text in verse 14 that we are to press toward the mark of the higher, of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, that means we must put our greatest efforts into the future and not into the past. And let me say to us this morning that Paul here is speaking from experience, and he's not just talking noise. Because when he wrote this letter, he was 60 years old and he was in prison. And during the time of his imprisonment, he didn't know if he was going to be acquitted or if he would lose his life. But still, he had a desire to serve God no matter what his circumstances was in the presence. Now, that says to us this morning that we should never allow age or our circumstances to affect our desire to serve the Lord. And so no matter who you are this morning or how old you may be, there ought to be a future in your life. In other words, there ought to be something out there in front of you that makes you get up in the morning, drives you and motivates you to move on. Because if we're going to have victory in the life we now live, we're going to have to forget the past, and we're going to have to do what Paul says in the text. He says in verse 3 that we are not to put any confidence in the flesh. And my brothers and sisters, that means that we need to watch out for the flesh. Why? Because the flesh will discourage you. Your flesh will always tell you that you can't do this and you can't do that. Your flesh will tell you that the same thing that happened to you in the past is going to happen again. The same thing that hurt you before is going to hurt you again. But if you listen and have confidence in the flesh, it will rob you of your future and your victory in God. And so we must watch out for the flesh. But we must also watch out for, yes, Lord, for who we make our friends. According to verse 17 and 19, here Paul warns that Christians, as Christians, we ought to be careful about who we make our friends. Why? Because we don't need friends who are not going anywhere. We don't need friends who live in the past, who say that their best days are behind them. We don't need friends who have decided that this is it, and all that they can do, all they can do is just live in misery and sit around sharing their misery and talking about how bad and how hard things are. We don't need friends like that, because those kind of friends may even keep you from serving the Lord, because you begin to think, yes, Lord, what's the use of being a Christian? What's the use of serving God when things are not going my way, things are not getting any better? But my Bible says, according to 1 Peter 3:17, that it's better if it's God's will to suffer for doing good than to suffer for doing evil. And so choose the right friends, and watch out for the flesh, and watch out for who you make your friends. And then we must also watch out for our failures. We know verse 12, he says, not as though I've already attained, I'm already perfected, he say, but I still press on. Meaning I may have failed in the past, but I don't have to fail right now. In other words, your life may be one miserable story of failure after failure after failure, but your life doesn't have to be a failure now if you put the past behind you. By pressing toward the mark, yes, Lord, of the future. And you need to press as hard as you can with all your strength. Paul here says here that it is the future that drives him. But Brother Buckner, what would make an old man sitting in a jail cell say, I don't care if they cut off my head. I still have a future. What would you make of anyone who had been beaten like Paul had all these years, who still say that he had a future? Well, the answer is found in verse 20 and 21, and we know that the reason Paul felt that way was because he understood that he was only a pilgrim here on earth, and he was just passing through, because his citizenship is in heaven. Meaning, yes, he understood that his suffering and all suffering for God's people is only temporary, and that his present suffering will eventually be eliminated completely, either when Christ returns or either in his death. And that's why Paul was able to say in 2 Corinthians 5:1 that we know if this earthly house or this physical body we live in is destroyed, we have another building, another resurrected body from God, an eternal house not built by human hands. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like a pretty good future to me. Because that is the ultimate future for every born-again believer in Christ. Meaning, if you saved this morning, if you're not even saved this morning, it can also be your future. All you got to do is just step out on faith and receive Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life. And so, my brothers and my sisters, for the born-again believer in Christ, you're supposed to be looking at life the same way Paul looked at life. Meaning you're not supposed to be sitting around here this morning mad at what somebody did to you 2 or 3 years ago. You're not supposed to be sitting here this morning upset because something that happened in your past. You're not supposed to be sitting here this morning feeling unappreciated for something you've done in the past. My brothers and sisters, you got to put the past behind you. You got to forget about those who hurt you in the past. You got to forget about those who wronged you in the past. But sad to say, there are folk who say that the reason they won't even come to church is because they were hurt in the last church they were in. But you need to get over a change churches, because everybody has been hurt or wrong by someone at one time or another. Everybody has been disappointed. Everybody has been upset. Everybody has had something not work out the way they planned. And guess what? We've all wronged or hurt somebody in life, whether we did it intentionally or unintentionally. And so you can't allow the past to rob you of your present and your future. So I want to tell you, you need to get over it because stuff happens. We can't change the past. And Paul here teaches us not to worry about the past. Because if anybody could tell us how to deal with the past, I believe Apostle Paul could. Because prior to his Damascus Road experience and prior to him becoming a Christian apostle spreading the good news, this same Paul was a murderer.
Yeah.
He killed preachers. He murdered folk who went to church. He killed Christians. That was Paul's past. He was a blasphemer. He cursed God's son, Jesus Christ. He hated Christianity. And all who called themselves Christians even followed Jesus Christ. But I hear Paul saying, I'm dead, but that was the old me. But now I'm a new creation because old things have passed away and all things have become new in Christ Jesus, my Lord. And so I'm forgetting the past by pressing forward and looking to the future. And in the same way, we've got to forget the negative things in our past also. Because why would we hold on to the past when the God who saves us forgets our past? Listen to what the Lord says in Hebrews 8:12. He says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. To put it another way, God says, I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. Remember now, forgetting means to no longer be affected or influenced by something of the past. And so Paul, even when in jail as a prisoner, he says, in spite of my conditions and the surrounding circumstances, he said, I press. I push myself. I drive myself. I give myself and everything within me for one thing, and that is to forget the past and the present circumstances. I press on toward the future. Because like Paul, if you are saved, we are all citizens of heaven and not of this old world. And so no matter what happens here on earth to these old physical bodies, every born again believer have a future in heaven. This is our hope. This is what gives us courage and strength to endure hard times and the suffering that we may face in this life as we make our way to the glorious future prepared by the Lord. And that's why Paul said again in 1 Corinthians 15:19, he said, if in this life only we Christians have set our hope on Christ, he said, we are most pitiful people in the world. But thank God that as Christians, our hope in Christ is not just for this world, but it's for this world as well as the world to come, because of our union with Christ by faith. And so even though we may suffer ridicule and persecution, we look forward to eternal life, peace, and joy with the Lord Jesus in the heaven in the future. Even more, we must apply these principles in our homes if there is to be peace. Because one of the reasons there are so many broken homes today is because someone can't forget some hurt or some bad thing of the past. But we've got to come to the place where we do what the Bible says do. For the Bible says we are to forget the past, and now in the present we must live for the future. You won't be able to do this if you don't apply this principle, and that is to forget the past past. Yes, sir. Press hard for the future, right? And keep your eyes on the finish line. Yeah, yeah. But now, to do this, whatever happens in your life, you need to ask God to give you strength to forgive and give you strength to get over it because stuff happens. Yes, but moreover, let us also apply these, yes, Lord, these principles to the mistakes of our lives. Yeah. You know the text says, forgetting those things which are behind. Yeah. Now that includes past mistakes, because all of us have made mistakes, and some of us have even made some serious mistakes. But we got to learn to put our mistakes behind us, and we got to forget about the past. I hear you talking, David. I know you know about my mistakes. I even got a man killed so I could have his wife for my own. But I went to God in prayer for forgiveness, and he forgave me and restored the joy of my salvation. I hear David praying according to Psalm 51 and 1 and 2. He said, have mercy, O God, according to your love, your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. He said, blot out my transgression, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from sin. But wait a minute, David, I hear Jonah trying to save it. Say something. What are you talking about, Jonah? Well, I'm still, I know you heard about me. Because I'm that disobedient prophet. Because God told me to go preach to the city of Nineveh, a wicked city of Gentiles. And so since I couldn't let go of the past, I went in another direction. But God called the giant fish to swallow me up because of my disobedience. But out of the belly of the fish, in my distress, I called on the Lord. And he answered me, and the Lord commanded the fish to vomit me up on dry land. And when he did, I went and preached to that wicked city of Nineveh, and the whole city repented of their sins. But my brothers and sisters, like Jonah, as human, we see other people and we feel envy, we feel hatred, we feel pride, and a need for revenge. But God looks at people and see helpless need and helpless evil. You know, God says in Romans 9 and 15, I will have mercy on whomever I'll have mercy, and compassion on whomever I will have compassion. Why? Because God is no respecter of person, no matter who they might be or what they may have done. And that's what the Bible says, yes, Lord. 2 Peter 3:9, that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but he's long-suffering toward us, and he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so as I tried to move to the close, let me ask you, why don't you forget your past? Why don't you forget your hurt? But still I hear people who say that they are Christian, talking about I'm not going to that church because I joined one time and somebody hurt me and did me wrong. But let me ask you, why is it that you still go to other places like Walmart, the grocery store? You go to your job and the lack, despite the fact that someone in these places did you wrong and someone hurt your feelings, but you can't go to church. Well, my brothers and sisters, the point is, anywhere you go, there may be someone who will treat you wrong. There may be someone who will hurt your feelings, because this would be a great world if it wasn't for people like you and me. And so none of us have the right to use people as an excuse for not serving the Lord, coming to church, living a peaceful and blessed life, no matter what happened in the past. So we need to get over it and press on to the future. And that's why Paul said, he said, one thing I do, he said, forgetting those things which are behind, being that believer, we must refuse to rely on past virtuous deeds,